This episode of It's Been a Week is brought to you by Tempur, a mattress like no other. Tempur is committed to ensuring people get their best night's sleep.
As a leader in the design, manufacturing, and distribution of mattresses and pillows, Tempur knows how crucial a good night's sleep is to overall health and wellness and getting you through the week.
Alicia, what are you like after a bad night's sleep?
Well, Jack, let's just say the day can be very tough. I do not have the same energy. I do not feel as sharp. I need my sleep. Actually, we all do.
I feel you, Alicia. Having a bad sleep can set you up for quite a difficult day. That is why we're so happy to have Tempur as a partner of the show, as Tempur mattresses can really help you through the week. Hello and welcome back to It's Been a Week. The school holidays are still going. Alicia Grabowski, it's good to see you. We've survived.
Well, just.
And you've managed to squeeze in a little trip interstate.
Yes. At one point my week felt like a year. We did a 9-hour car drive with the whole family to South Australia.
You can get a plane there now.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot quicker, but we needed the car and we've got the kids and they wanted to bring all their stuff, kid stuff. And I wondered, Jack, was there ever a time you've wanted to basically eject your seat into space?
Yes.
Apart from the time that you floated with Dan in this tiny studio.
We're never going to live that down, are we?
Never.
Well, basically every day, because I was on TV for nearly 20 years.
A long time.
Yes, and I'm quite famous for being one of America's most popular Christmas bloopers, where they rolled to live TV when I didn't know I was on and I'm coughing and spluttering and waving my hand at flies. And this blooper went viral. It was the most viewed on news.com. This is like 10 years ago now, for like 2 weeks. So I wanted to die, literally.
Okay, so similar feeling that I had driving to South Australia with my family.
Okay, this week I'm going to review Spare, of course, Prince Harry's novel. It's been the most bought novel ever.
Yes, I did see that. I thought you would be so happy.
Well, I liked it. But anyway, I'm going to review it. Also, hackers have targeted a small Melbourne business with devastating consequences. Why are summer fruits so expensive? We're going to take a look at our weird weather, the cold and wet December, then the scorching hot weather we're having now. Do seasons really mean anything anymore?
I just don't think they do, especially in Melbourne. You also made some waves, Jack, this week around the death of George Pell, so we're going to chat about that and I'll give you my PR take on it as well.
Okay, let's get right into it now, and we're going to start with this little Melbourne business. Instagram is such an important business tool. You and I have both built businesses around it, as have many, many people. But what happens if, through no fault of your own, you're hacked and you literally have nowhere to run? It's so common when you ask people. It's happened to me before. And I remember that panicked feeling when you see that the hackers have got in and they were targeting me on WhatsApp saying, I'm going to empty your bank accounts if you don't do this, this and this. But this happened to Jo, who's the owner of Martin York Boutique in Melbourne. She not only lost $15,000 after the hackers got into her business account, but also 25,000 followers. She didn't have that two-factor authentication and now she's really struggling to know where to turn.
I was logged out of my business Instagram. I could no longer access anything to do with my personal Facebook or my business Instagram. My partner started to look for Martin York Boutique on Instagram and it said user not found. So you can imagine my panic, 8 years of building a following. They have infiltrated my PayPal, set up PayPal to take regular payments out of my bank account. So PayPal is linked to my bank account. They took $9,000 on one day. The following day, the hackers then used Facebook to take another $7,000 out of my account. I have been in tears more times in the last 3 days than I've been in my whole life, I think.
Jack, I feel for her, and I think, you know, as you said, when it happened to you, the fact that it's out of your control.
Yes.
It's someone else, you know, in your bank accounts, in your business. But I think the PR message here is to use social media. It is an amazing tool, as we know, but to use it basically as a marketing tool and not to rely on it when it comes to your business, and specifically not to rely on it for cash flow, because essentially it is a third party handling your business and handling your money. So that's where it can get really, really dangerous.
But I know how much just in my daily life I shop through Instagram. Yeah. And a little boutique like this that's in a shopping centre in Melbourne, it's really successful. They would do so much of their business just through Instagram. Yeah. And to have that taken away in an instant, yeah, not only financially devastating, as we've heard, but also emotionally devastating as well. But you hear it happens so often and people just aren't prepared for it. And then there's nowhere to turn because there's no real person you can just pick up the phone to at Instagram or Facebook and say, hi, can you help me? Those people, they're very hard to find.
But that's the risk. That's what I'm saying. Don't rely on it. Use it as a tool and push people to your website or a separate, you know, site where people can still online shop, but do not rely on it for cash flow and do not let a third party into your business.
Oh, it's just shattering. But we are talking about money this week and you've had another chat to Steve from Mortgage Choice.
Well, we had Steve on last week and he did talk to us about the magic number when it came to interest rates, that being 4.6 to 4.8%. If you can get your interest rate down to that, you are doing very, very well. Since we spoke about that last week, you and I sort of did find a few articles about the fact that there's been a boom in Australians refinancing, yeah, which is a good thing because there are so many people doing it tough and hard at the moment. And the fact that they do feel that there is a way that there can be some relief is something that people should be doing. But I also spoke to another expert, which this is the really interesting bit, who said the worst pain is yet to come for a lot of Australians who have been locked into a fixed term interest rate from 2 to 3 years ago. So if you lock into a fixed term, it's usually for between 2 to 3 years. So the people from who are now coming out of those locked interest rates were at 2%. So they're coming out this year around Feb, March.
And five, bang.
Five, like instantly, mortgage has doubled. And it's going to jump again in Feb, they're saying. So Pete Angelini, he's the CEO of a boutique accounting and advisory firm called Stannards, and he had this to say.
Doing a home budget is critical and factoring in the new interest rate costs. Having a look at all your general living expenses, covering for all costs, not just fixed costs. So think about all things like dinners, clothes, presents and all the sundry items that cost us a lot of money these days and all add up. So definitely do a home budget.
Sam, you told me you have a budget.
I do.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, I need it. I don't quite have the social media following of you, Jackie, so I do need a budget at times. And
My husband's not listening to this.
Well, last year I thought it was time because I was just getting money and I didn't really know where it was going and it's just my girlfriend Clara did.
So Clara. I can't wait to get Clara on.
I know. She can't wait either. She can't wait.
You sound so thrilled about that. But, yeah, I'm not great at budgeting. I probably should do one. But I recently applied for a credit card. I've never had a credit card before. But I wanted to go overseas and I realised you need these to get the points. So it's a, you know, people do that to be able to get an upgrade or whatever. And I am still really cautious about having a credit card. I don't like it. So I've never really had a strict budget. It's just this is what we have. And this is what we spend.
Well, but maybe I need to this get back is your it. Year, Jack, for the budget. But there also is some good news for people who live in New South Wales, as there's a plan to basically try and scrap stamp duty payments. So we'll keep a watch on that and see if it actually happens. Because if it does for first homeowners, generally they sell within 1 to 2 years, it will make a huge difference for them to be able to buy again.
I would like to see whether the government here ever does that because this has been mooted so many times. It's such a cash cow for any state government. I can't imagine them doing it here. Last week, the big story was the death of George Pell. And what shocked me was not the fact that he died, but the response from some of our political leaders, Tony Abbott, you know, saying that his reputation will grow and grow. He'll become an inspiration for the ages and called him effectively a modern day saint. And on top of that, we had Peter Dutton, the Liberal leader, suggesting that, you know, Cardinal Pell had endured political persecution. I just found these responses. I wrote about it. I called it beyond the pale, and I think that was me perhaps tempering my emotions about it. What are your thoughts on it?
I think that, as you say, former PMs, you know, the people who weighed in, the majority of their responses were just in no way sympathetic to the victims, and I think therein lies the problem. These people were so brave to come out and to tell their story, despite what the end result was and despite what the argument is there. They came out, they told what they believed is their truth, and many people still do believe it's their truth, and it's just disrespectful to them. I think it also shows how, very sadly, how out of touch these people are who posted or, you know, released statements basically saying that he was some kind of saint.
Well, it was nice to see the Victorian Premier rule out a state funeral. And I will just say one thing before we leave that there is that the Child Abuse Royal Commission did find that he not only knew about child abuse, but he actually didn't take proper steps to act on it. So these are former prime ministers of our country. Acknowledging the victims, you would think, would be the bare minimum.
I think it was inappropriate, that kind of response. And I think it also, it indirectly gave the Catholic Church another bad rap when it comes to PR. Like it just, there was nothing positive.
Look, I think they're pretty familiar with that, aren't they?
They're familiar with it. But again, it was just another blow because there is nothing positive for the Catholic Church about what those people did last week. I also think on another sort of topic that it does show that these people are out of touch when it comes to right-wing politics. There is a real issue with supporters and, you know, voters of that next generation, and this has just done absolutely nothing for that cause. So I think, yeah, it really did sort of cause quite a few problems when it comes to PR across the board.
100%. Let's pivot to something else now. We've touched on it before. And it is a hot topic. Fruit and veggie prices. Watermelons last week were insane. They were $41. I asked you earlier, are you a watermelon girl? You love watermelon.
I love.
Who actually pays $41
for watermelon? And it was over Christmas as well. So I think, you know, people who were entertaining and that, well, everyone would have been over Christmas, would have basically had no choice. I mean, obviously the best advice when it comes to fruit and veg is always to buy what's in season. And
which watermelon thing, is, which was so weird.
That was the odd thing about it. I did speak to an expert in the fruit and veg industry, and he basically said to me it was actually just a glitch in the transport from where the watermelons came from. There was a drop in the supply chain, which has now obviously been rectified because the price has gone back to normal.
But while you've been talking about that, you found another price jump that actually will affect more people than what you think.
More people than watermelons, I think. So it's a little bit random, but the price of sand has absolutely skyrocketed. So usually it's around $40 a cubic metre. It's now around $160 a cubic metre, and that's happened in the past sort of 4 to 6 weeks.
And we're not just talking sand pits for our kids. We're actually talking about sand that you would use to build a home, right?
Yes, and that's the big problem. That's where it's, you know, it's going to cause even more pain for people. So I spoke to John Charles from Melbourne Brick and Block Layers, and he had this to say.
I think the trouble is the building trade is so rampantly busy, people are taking advantage of it. The garden suppliers, the quarries have lifted their rates. Obviously, fuel has doubled. We've got no choice. We either pay it or we just don't work.
And Jack, he told me he's turning 67 this year, and it is going to be his most challenging time he's had in business. He's been in sand his whole life. And it's, you hear stories like that and you do feel for them. You know, it's been his whole life. He's not just going to close down his business and go and, you know, be something else. He's 67. So, again, it affects the consumer, but it also affects the people who have businesses in that industry.
And I love that. I've been in sand my whole life.
Yeah.
Who would have known?
Yeah.
So we're recording on Tuesday. It's nearly 40 degrees and it got me thinking, why do we start the school holidays so early?
Why do we start them at all?
And they never end. Once they've started, the kids never go back. We've got 2 weeks to go. The weather's peaking now, right? February, I think, is always the best for those consistently hot days. But a few years ago, Tim Entwistle, he's the director of the Royal Botanic Gardens in Melbourne, he proposed an extra season. It sounds crazy. He called it Sprummer. So that would be October and November. And then to make summer 4 months, so December, January, February, March. March is probably my favourite month of the year.
Is it?
But I feel like the seasons don't necessarily align anymore. Do you think that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think September is spring, but it's still often very, very cold in September. There needs to be a shift. I think we've got winter right because I think still in August it's always cold. I'm
yes.
always depressed in August. I'm like, when is it going to end? But, yeah, I think there's, as you say, especially for school holidays and stuff like that and the lead up to Christmas, it needs to shift a little.
So I went and asked an expert, my friend Jane Bunn. She's from janesweather.com. This is what she thought about it.
Well, there's two things at play here. One is La Nina. La Nina sends lots of moisture from the Pacific Ocean, creating rain to our north. And that means the desert can't bake and heat up. So when our winds flick northerly, they're not the dry, extreme heat from a few years ago. So it's more difficult to get a 40-degree day, particularly early in the season in December. Now, the second thing at play is the sun. It doesn't actually start pushing the hottest rays here until just a few days before Christmas. And in other parts of the world, that's when summer or winter technically begins, not with the calendar like we do here.
I think it's always interesting to hear from an expert, isn't it? But La Nina, El Nino, we've been in La Nina
yes.
for a while now, so we have had those cooler, wetter weather patterns. It's funny, you think back a couple of months ago and it was almost like it was bucketing every single day.
Yeah, I remember I moved house in October, end of October, and it was absolutely pouring for about 2 weeks. It didn't stop.
So I'm definitely not going to complain about the heat now. As mentioned at the top of the show, Alicia, Temper is partnering with It's Been a Week as they want us to help spread their message of the importance of a great night's sleep.
I know, Jack. Their products are so great in ensuring after a long day, you know that you're sleeping on the very best
yes.
mattress available to help you get that deep sleep that we really, really all just need.
We need more sleep. We've found out how much we're aging on this episode.
We
so we need some more sleep. And just like last week, we are going to give listeners a chance to win a queen bed valued at $5,000 thanks to our very special friends at Temper. But first, it's our pleasure to announce the winner of our very first giveaway. We'd like to congratulate at Sarah_adventure_travel. Yay!
Well done to Sarah. I know that they're going to love their new bed thanks to Temper. To be honest, Jack, it did cross my mind, should I make a little burner account and try and win a bed myself? That is how good these mattresses really are.
I wouldn't put it past you to do that either. And it's not over yet. We still have three more beds to give away. And all you need to do, just the same as last week, follow the It's Been a Week podcast on Instagram and Temper ANZ, that's Temper ANZ, like the Instagram video announcing the giveaway and then share the video on your Instagram story tagging It's Been a Week podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
I just can't believe that's all you have to do to win. The lucky person will be announced again next week. Now back to the podcast.
But I did want to talk about a topic that you love to complain about.
Yeah.
Spare.
I
read
been
it.
So excited for this all week, Jack.
Do you know you say this, but I feel like people are really interested in it. The press it's gotten, it's been off the charts. I actually didn't read it. I listened to it and I listened to it on Audible. And this is my hot tip for anyone. If you open an Audible account, they give you free credits. So you can get a couple of books for free. So I got Spare for free, so I didn't even have to pay for it.
Oh, great.
Your enthusiasm is showing no bounds.
Just through the roof happy you were.
Okay, I don't want to spoil it for people, but one thing I did like about listening to it is it's much more powerful when Prince Harry's actually narrating it
yes.
and you hear his voice. And when they've talked about certain things in this book in the press, they sound terrible, some of the things that he's allegedly said, right? And when you actually listen to it or read it in its full context, it's totally different. And I enjoyed the book. I would recommend it to anyone because I think it gave us a really interesting insight into the royal family and his life effectively in a gilded cage. He's clearly deeply traumatized over the death of his mother and he carries that with him. And I think that's traveled with him throughout his whole life. And there are some examples in the book when he's a teenager. He names a couple of teachers that he had that he didn't like. That didn't sit well with me.
Mm-hmm.
They're people who are essentially looking after a prince and he speaks poorly about them. But
I'm not surprised.
Oh, other than that, I thought it was really interesting. And you know what he is? He's really honest. He talks about his drug use, but then he also goes on to say, I was a young boy when I was doing drugs. He said, I wasn't addicted, I wasn't in rehab, but I woke up the next day and I see my name on the front page of every paper in the country saying I've been admitted to rehab. He said, you have to imagine what that's like. They stalk me when I leave my house. I'm not allowed to go to the supermarket. I'm not allowed to do anything. When he went to war, when he served in Afghanistan, the media blew his cover. He put his entire unit in danger. And they had an agreement not to do that. So there's a lot of stuff you get an insight to that you wouldn't have otherwise been able to hear. And I do like the fact that you hear it in his own voice.
What about the stories? I had never heard about his penis until now. Why? Enlighten me, Jack.
He does talk about this, but I found it interesting, and here's why. So he talks about it because he tries to paint his life, as I said, that gilded cage. We can't even imagine what it's like to live.
Well, we're starting to imagine because we've heard it 50 million times.
You really dislike it.
No, I'm just stop.
You're
just
part
saying,
of the problem here.
I'm just
this
saying.
This is what I'm saying. You're part of the problem. You're part of the problem. So he talks about this. He went to the Arctic. I think he actually went to the South Pole, North Pole, but he went, North Pole. And he ended up getting frostbitten hands, frostbitten feet, and also frostbitten in the nether regions, and he needed to go and see a doctor. But because he's Prince Harry, he was paranoid it would get leaked to the media. So he managed to get a doctor's appointment through a friend of a friend, and he says he's lying there behind the curtain. You know how they pull the curtain?
Yeah.
And the doctor, he booked it under a different name, and the doctor pulls the curtain back and just like...
Shock horror.
Yes. Oh, it's you, he says. And this is his life. So he's lying there on this bed totally starkers. And the doctor's wigging out because it's Prince Harry, and he's like, can you please just fix me?
Fix me.
So it was actually I actually found it to be, it was kind of a way of him illustrating how weird his life is and the media coverage and the lengths he goes to try and just go to the doctor and do something that all of us take for granted. So it wasn't as salacious as what they wrote. When you actually read the story, mm-hmm. imagine lying there and the doctor's wigging out because you're naked.
I can't imagine, So, although it might be nice.
Sure. To be that famous. Will you read it?
Look, you have definitely sold it to me as not a whingy list. So I think I'm going to, but if it...
There are parts that are a little bit whingy, but I think the insight that you get into the... And also how weird the royals are.
Yeah. Oh,
like, they're
weird.
Super weird.
Oh, they're so weird. We spoke about this the other night over text.
Yes, they're really weird.
Yeah.
And his relationship with his brother, that... You can't imagine them fixing that because he really dumps a bucket load on Wills.
I'm also really interested in Diana. I love Diana. So I'm interested because you said there's quite a bit on that.
So much.
I actually can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth. But
I am going to read it. You.
My only thing is it like
you can read it for free too. So you don't even have to pay for it
now. Is this it? Because we've had Netflix, we've had Oprah, we've had like the book, like. He's purged, surely. Like
he said that he spared his brother and his dad. He's actually got a whole bunch that he could release further that would fill, quote, another book. Well, I'll buy it.
I'm sure he will. I don't think it's an if. I think it's a when.
Do they also have a podcast as well, Meghan and Harry?
So they did have a podcast deal.
Yeah.
But I don't think they've actually – Meghan's got her – podcast, but I don't think Harry's actually done one with her yet. But she's got her one. Like she had Serena Williams.
Yes, I listened to that actually.
Oh.
Because I also love Serena, not because I love Meghan, obviously.
Well,
I found it interesting, her take on motherhood.
And one other thing quickly, I'll leave the book because obviously everyone wants to read it.
Yeah.
His take on what happened to Meghan, when you actually hear it in his own words, it's dreadful. And I want you to come back when you've read this book and justify the way she was treated because you won't be able to. All right. You'll be embarrassed.
I'll let you
and speaking
win.
Of I which.
I pick my battles with you.
Speaking of which, embarrassment of the week.
That's embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing.
Oh, yes. It's you again today, Jack.
It is. Tash is our social media guru. She's 22 years old, and today she was helping me shoot some content at the tennis, and she bumped into a friend of hers who said, is that your mother? To me.
And when you told me that story when you walked in today, I said, and guess who's embarrassment of the week?
Again.
It's you.
It's me.
How did you feel? How did you feel?
Crap.
Old. Haggard.
Embarrassed. But I thought, like, I feel like when I walk next to this 22-year-old gorgeous young woman, I don't feel like I'm
100.
No. And I got a real reality check at the tennis today when this woman pointed and said, is that your mum?
Well, I don't think you look like Tasha's
mum. Look, I know
mum.
I'm 40 and she's only 22, but I'm I have a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old, and I'm already struggling with that, but I could be her mother.
You could.
I've had a real reality check. I thought I was doing okay. It turns out I'm not.
Well, I have a similar funny-ish story in that, which I said to you earlier, is that people often mistake my dad for my husband. Like, my dad's very hands-on with my children. He's great and they love their grandfather.
Why is he so hands-on with your kids?
Well, because I am the only child who has children, so we're very lucky they get spoiled. And also if he doesn't, I'll yell at him.
Well, like, no, I was more thinking, is it because your husband's never around?
I mean, that's numero uno, obviously. But yeah, often people will be at the playground and, you know, my dad's so hands-on with the kids and he's helping and I'm just sort of standing there and, you know, people say, oh, people come up to me and say, oh, your husband's so good with the kids. And I'm like, oh, no.
That's my dad. See, that's a win for your dad though.
Oh, he looks young.
Yeah, I know your dad.
I was about to say, does he look really young?
And he
young?
Does look young.
Like,
yeah.
My parents
But you
are
do
not old.
Look a bit like your dad.
Yeah, which is even
which
weirder.
Which is weirder.
Like, but people marry people that look like sometimes they like,
we
look
haven't
like
done that.
Brother and sister. No, not us. I mean.
No.
No, that would be
But
weird.
I think we've both got a real deluded sense of what we look like.
Yeah.
As I said, I've been given a real reality check today, that's for sure. DM us, when have you been asked, are you someone's mother? It's definitely not on. And that brings me to our next segment. We've seen a lot of talk, Alicia, about subscription services.
So this week and last week, there has been a lot of buzz around subscriptions. People now have to subscribe and pay to some popular podcasts. Not
ours.
And
Instagram.
Not ours.
Not ours.
And Instagram. What is with that? What is with having to pay for things now that used to be free? It's not on.
It's really interesting, isn't it? The Instagram thing, I think for me, if I was to do that, I would alienate 90% of my audience.
Yeah.
Because, and how much money would it, what would
really
be the trade-off for that?
Yeah. Like, and I think that with these other podcasts, I think they are alienating their listeners. And some of them have been around for many, many years. And then, boom, you know, now you have to pay. It got me thinking about, you know, the things that were free, like going on a plane and getting a full meal, like a hot meal, something on the side, a little snack used to be free. Not anymore. A friend of mine, they live in Sydney, they went to the hairdresser, her husband went to the hairdresser and said, guess what? Head massage.
Oh, I love a head massage.
Now have to pay extra for it.
Do you
it.
Like a head massage? Sam?
Love a head massage.
Can you believe it?
Love a head massage.
It's extra.
Yeah, it's great.
I feel like that's the one time you can relax, isn't it, when you're at the hairdresser and you don't have the kids
Heaven.
With you.
What is it about the hairdresser?
Heaven.
And you're just suddenly telling them everything about
the
your
best.
Life.
Oh, my gosh, my hairdresser.
It's like my psychologist.
If she ever, like, speaks a word, I don't know what I'll do. And speaking of de-stressing, Jack, I did say to you, that's the other thing, like paying now to de-stress. When we were young, we didn't have to. Now we have to go pay for massages to de-stress. We have to go, you know, you have to pay to feel normal. It's a sad story.
This is because we have young children.
Yeah, we're old.
Well, we like to think we're young, but yes, what we're going to end on that note then, that makes me thoroughly depressed. Thank you. I am a 22-year-old's mother. We are here all year though, so subscribe to It's Been a Week from wherever you get your podcasts and slide into our DMs if you have anything you want us to talk about next week. It's been a week, Alicia.
It really has.
So, Alicia, we're so lucky to have our friends at Chemist Warehouse involved in the podcast, and they're also involved in the Oz Open. So, as we've heard, I was down there today having a look around and we popped into the Chemist Warehouse pop-up. And when I say pop-up, it's actually like a full-on store.
Oh,
like,
wow.
There's a pharmacist there. They've got everything you need when you're out at a major event. And one of the cool things at the back of the store is they've got all these little pop-up activations as well that the kids can do. And the one that my daughters did was, you know, when you see all the players, when they win a match, they sign the camera lens with a pen and it's all part of the wrap-up. Well, you can do that. And then you just put your mobile in and they send you a little video of yourself signing the camera lens and it looks like you're on court.
Oh, super cute.
My daughters loved that. But what they also loved was me letting them go around the store free range, and I said they could each pick a couple of things. So Maddie popped out with a bright pink lipstick and was walking around the Oz Open with this fluoro pink lipstick thinking she was all that, which was great.
Yeah.
But it had absolutely everything. And the other thing I forgot to do when I went to the tennis today was I thought I'd pack sunscreen, but I actually packed it in a bag that I left in the car. and we just popped in there, grabbed some sunscreen. They've got everything like Band-Aids, nappies, yeah. whatever you need. It's a proper store.
Great. And you know, all of this, I mean, it's not new news to me because whenever I go to Chemist Warehouse, I go in for two things and I literally come out with 40 because everything in there is basically useful.
Exactly, especially when you're at something like the Australian Open and it's a 40-degree day. Like you said, if you're feeling a bit unwell, the pharmacist is there. And while I was there, I also picked up this one for you because we were talking today on the pod about ageing.
Yes.
So who doesn't need a good moisturiser? Yes. And this one is QV Ceramides. And the reason why I liked this one is because it's for sensitive skin. So after a long day in the sun, I'm doing it here. Yeah. It's nice, you know, and it's a really good size. It's not expensive. Something you can just pick up when you head to Chemist
Warehouse. Nice for sensitive skin as well.
And for the kids, easy to use, cheap, affordable.
Who doesn't need a moisturiser in summer, especially?
Especially at this time of year and especially when you've spent a long day at the tennis.